morning and welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports business. Well, I'm going to read off some quotes to you and see if it resonates with you. A great resource, a time of purposeful discussion, a lifeline to where you want to be, a positive, uplifting, and very necessary for professional women, a platform to hear about best practices, success of Black athletics administrators, an opportunity to connect with great women in athletics, a podcast featuring some of the most influential women in athletics, a podcast of encouragement, networking, and celebration. The best podcast ever. A group of powerful women in athletics rooting and motivating each other. A safe haven for women to share and to grow. A place to come together for advice on how to advance. A space of hope, encouragement, love, and power. An in-depth conversation where women of color who work in athletics can engage. Women building, women in sports. I just read off the quotes that came from listeners of A Chat in the Garden. And it was interesting enough that when we had our celebration June the 8th, to keep us from having a Zoom boom or Zoom bomb, I had a couple of messages in there where you had to give a password or answer a question. So the question was, what is A Chat in the Garden? Well, the answer was podcast. Well, you know, women in the garden are just, in a beautiful way, extra. So they gave me all of these quotes. I didn't need them because I needed to say it was podcast, let them in, because that's what I saw the name. I said, I've got to be able to use this in a meaningful way. So I'm a creative being. That's what God created us to be, creative creatures. So I made a shirt with the quotes. My husband's like, what you doing? I said, I don't know, but I know I'm supposed to use this, and I just went, bam. So this shirt was really, really, you know how I say, made for us. This shirt really was made for you, the listener, okay? But it's a limited time only, okay? And so limited meaning Friday is the last day that you can make a purchase. So if you want to make sure you get this phenomenal shirt, and guess what? My husband's like, you just need to make that logo a little bit bigger. On the headphones, I got a Chat in the Garden logo. So just to represent, show your love, and to have some encouragement of what this is all about, get the shirt. Come get the shirt. It's in the garden on under announcements. My second last orders on Friday. And it's only $30. Speaking of only, I am really excited about Behind the Whistle Symposium. Interesting enough, I'm wearing their shirt today. Behind the Whistle has created another great symposium, and they have expanded to be virtual, and so that means that you can watch from home, so you don't need to travel to San Antonio. And I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this, especially if you're a scholar of athletics. They're going to have to be some serious scholars in the game there. Dr. Emmett Gill, Dr. Alika Carter Van Zink, Dr. Joseph Cooper. So if you are in the curriculum of athletic administration or kinesiology, especially the most important part is the sociology of sport, you have seen these names. Now, you might not have paid attention because they're on the binder of the book. These folks who write the material that our students who are in the curriculum of sports management learn from. So guess what? You get to be in a Zoom room with them and to kind of pick their brains. Because the conversation is called a schema, and it's about coming up with solutions. And I'm telling you, and I believe the resources I provide you is to elevate you so that you can bring it back to your campus. And when you are the person bringing it, then that raises your profile, which means I'm advancing you, which is my whole role here, is to grow you, to advance you, and I'm trying to provide resources. But this does have a cost, so you need to invest in yourself. Let's not get caught up where the school won't pay for it. No, you need to invest in yourself. You need to invest in yourself to grow. It's July the 17th and 18th. Okay, July 17th, 18th. It's a whole day on the 17th and a half a day on the 18th. But I'm telling you, if you people talking about they need mentors, they want sponsors, you need to get these people on your board of directors. I'm just saying, especially if you want to go in student athlete development, these are the people that you need to know, and they need to know you. And so we do have some Garden members presenting, Brittany Collins and Latrice Sales and Jody Grevy. They are all speaking, and so I'm excited about that. And you know what else I'm excited about? That membership has its privileges. We're able to send two members of the Advanced Academy, Dr. Christelle McGregor, and Alexandria Holt, who just graduated from grad school. And both of them are looking at the student athlete development area, and I'm so glad I'm able to provide the opportunity to them. And let me not miss that Dr. Crystal McGregor just graduated as well. But I just got to put this plug. She's also undergrad at Hampton University. And but again, you know, when you join the Advanced Academy, when the opportunities come about that I'm connected with, I can assist you. And this is all about advancing. So again, July the 17th to July the 18th. To register, go to behindthewhistle.net. Go to behindthewhistle.net and get this excellent opportunity. What I love about the Behind the Whistle, it has always been on an intimate setting, and again, you can actually touch and say you know, and people can know you. And I am sorry that it's not in person, but I am sure it's going to be very impactful, as it always has been. And William, one of the co-founders, is hilarious, and Lizette, she has the heart of gold. And both of them are coming from the high school side, but they are, again, bringing the resources that they have connected with and bringing it on a high school level. And I'm just really proud of them. I would say they are my semi-clients, because every time that we are at the Black Student Athlete Summit, we have a bonding moment, and they are entrepreneurs. They are athleticpreneurs. They're taking their passions and they're monetizing it, and I'm so proud of them, just so glad that we're connected and I can bring this opportunity to you. Don't miss out on this, again, July the 17th to the 18th, especially if you are interested and advancing the student athlete development, and I believe everyone should be at every level at this point in time of our history. Students are being reflective upon themselves, and they want to be not just heard but felt. And these are some solutions. These are people who have studied this. These people with solutions. You hear me? And what I love about hearing solutions for individuals on a platform such as this if you need additional assistance to bring it to your campus, they are willing to assist you in providing resources, documentation to help you make that change. And this is my effort, just be honest, this is my activism of how to provide resources to help you make those moves on the front line. And to be very candid with you, you can't lead by emotion. You have to lead with resources and facts and show people the bottom line how it's going to assist them. Even if it's as simple as we have 200 African-American students, if we don't do this, research shows that we will lose a certain number of percentage, and can we afford to do that? So if we can afford to do that, you can mute me. But if we cannot, let me assist. And, you know, let's be honest, sometimes, often, if you are the only African-American person on the staff, or very few, you'll be asked to be on a task force for such as this. And let's just be honest, just because you're black and brown does not mean that you're qualified and have that information. So don't wait. You know, don't wait to say I'm not familiar with that. Come and get familiar with it. And more importantly, come and get some resources so when that time comes and you're on that committee and you're asked, how do we attack this? And you'll say, well, I might not be the expert, but I do know someone who is. Can we bring them to campus? Can we bring them to a Zoom call? And those individuals will be the individuals that will be at the schema July the 17th and 18th. I cannot impress this upon enough. Get the resources. Read the books, read the articles. Because this is how you're going to make the change. This is how you're going to make the change. And let me tell you, let me give you an idea of what you're going to be facing. If you ever hear someone say in the last 2 weeks, why are they tearing down those monuments? What's the big deal? And you don't necessarily know how to respond to that, go get some reading, folks. Again, reeds are seeds. Plant them, root them with you so then that when the time comes, you know exactly what to come out. Go get rooted, people. Go get rooted. And you can't have your head in the sand because if you don't, it's going to come back on you. Okay? So, Surviving the Lights is another resource, a professional athlete's playbook to avoiding the curse by Tawana Smith. And I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. I'm proud of her because she, too, is going to go get some additional learning. She's pursuing her PhD. And, again, because it is her area of expertise and she saw the number of, again, let's just be honest, you know, number of African-American males that were coming out of first or two or three years of professional sports and not having the tools to avoid financial distress. And that's the curse that we're speaking about. And let's just be really, really honest. Some of that curse comes about because in our programming, we cater to, but we don't necessarily share the pitfalls because we're so excited about what the future may bring. And then when you get into the future, you don't know what you're supposed to know. And I don't know if I shared this before, but I had a female student athlete who thought she was going to go pro, but she had so many injuries. I swear, I think she broke her leg like 3 or 4 times. And then it finally hit her. When I've been saying the whole time that you need to, you know, look at student-athlete development, you know, some of the things that you've gone through, you don't want to happen to somebody else. Now she gets it. So then I asked her to get her LinkedIn page straight before I recommend her, you know, for something. And it was just kind of bare. And this is a scholar athlete. I mean, like, I want to say 3.9, 3.8. You know, all conference, got championship rings, but nothing was there. And she's a perfect example of why I stand on top of the rooftops and say, you're more than just an athlete. Because they don't know that. They say, no, I got to get it where I can get it. But why can't you go get it all at the same time? And so spent some time with her on Zoom and just kind of just tweaked a couple of things to tell her how to promote herself. I said, pretend like you on the marketing team of athletic department. Well, she had done a little bit of, and just market yourself like that. And she's, and look, I tell you, she's a great student. She would do just what she's supposed to do to get that grade because she was in my PR class. But she just didn't see how it related to her. And I asked the question. I said, do you think that this is something that you should have been shown or not shown, not in a class setting, but as an athlete and somewhat forced to like everything else she had to do? She says, absolutely. I was like, well, you know what? That means absolutely you're going to do that when you get that position. So then that puts that fire in them to be able to see that. And so what I'm saying to you, you know, all of you got some type of experience that could probably ignite someone else to go on a different pathway. So they won't go down the same pathway you've done. And so that's what Tawana Smith did. It wasn't her plight as a professional athlete, but it was her plight of helping athletes navigate afterwards, and she would just see. And so the book has so many examples of individuals that had some problems, and you just you need to become aware. So you can say, hey, I read the so-and-so and so-and-so did so-and-so. You might not want to have your best friend as your accountant. You might not want to have your best friend or your colleague negotiate your contract or uncle because they don't have experience in that area. And this is what happened to so-and-so. I know you don't want to happen to you. If you don't want to feel like you can do that, buy the book. Put it on your bookshelf, say, hey, read this, give it back to me. Surviving the Life of Professional Athletes Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith can be purchased on Amazon in paperback, audio, or, let's say paperback, audio, oh, an ebook. And guess who else has a book out? It is Dr. Chico Caldwell, the one that's been doing these excellent webinars called Success Culture Consulting, how to create a success culture in athletics. And now he's somewhat touching on the leadership and changing the culture as it relates to the tensions that we're having today. And he said he was taking off this week for 4th of July. So we don't have a webinar tomorrow. But I do want to tell you, he does have a book. It's called Common Sense is on Vacation. He says, common sense, we have to bring it back. And I have posted that inside the Facebook group of how to purchase that. And it's only $7. So you need to get this, especially if you have listened to his webinars. You know, everything he does is research-based. And hey, you know, we got to support those who support us. And Dr. Caldwell is a media partner. Yes, I love his info, but he's also helps pay the bills to put the podcast on. So please go out and support him. And speaking of books, yes, I am still promoting my chapter called The Public Figure Mask, Exit Stage Left, where I talk about my, and I don't call it a climb up, I say a spiral up, of athletic administration. And it was a straight up, to be honest. And I say in the book, I wish it would have been a spiral up, because then some of the barriers that occurred for me might not have. And this is why I try to tell you all, it's you know, even the young folks, they want to achieve really fast, and it's great. Just make sure that you enjoy all four seasons of life as you're doing it. Because sometimes you hit that brick wall. And this is why student athlete development is so important, because, you know, the faster, and I know you listening, you remember when people would say to you, don't try to rush things because you might not be prepared for what you get, especially the teenagers, we would tell them, you're not ready. And so I'm not saying I wasn't ready, but I would tell you, I moved for what was needed at the time, let's put it like that, and it was unexpected. And so what I'm speaking of is at 28 years old, I became the interim athletic director of a college. And I think, let me see, it was 6 years. I had been at an institution for 6 years. My first job was at 22 years old. And then the boss I had died of cancer. And 2 years later, and I went through five different ADs. And this came to a point where the president was like, okay, I need you to take over this. And at first I was apprehensive because I said, I'm not ready. Then I said, well, you know, other folks are dying for this job and they're not ready either. So why don't I learn on a job as others have done and will do? And I did. And I am not sorry for it at all. But I will say that because of my experiences, I try to make sure that I can guide other individuals not to go down a hole that is hard to get back out of. And so I was planning on having a book tour. But, hey, COVID-19 has put a wall up. But like I continue to tell you all, it's all in perspective. I don't see a wall. I see a door of opportunity. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do a virtual book tour. Yes, a virtual book tour. And I want to shout out, I'm scheduled to do at least 12 to 13, but we have dates and hosts. And I just want to shout them out. Linda Bell, July the 27th, I'll be joining her and her friends and colleagues. And I've known Linda Bell for 29 years. She was my student athlete at St. Paul's College, but now she's associate AD at Fort Valley. And so she's my colleague now, and I think that's wonderful. Janice Lavillet, Dr. Janice Lavillet, is my colleague at Hampton University, and I'm looking forward to speaking to her friends and groups. And the whole point is that we're going to be discussing the book. These hosts have already read the book and commented to me what they got back from the book. And so it's going to be a dialogue of where and how I navigated and some suggestions. And the book does have some suggestions, and I have some resources in the book as well. Benita Gordon, who is a young lady that is from the town of my where I first became an AD, and so you just never know who's watching you. She's also a Hamptonian as well. And so I was blessed to be able to be a role model to folks I didn't know I was being a role model to. So I'm looking forward to talking to her group August the 4th. And then I have Pastor Patrice Thornhill, August the 7th, another Lawrenceville person who was a great role model for me as I was hitting some walls and did not know there were doors of opportunity. And I have graced her church a couple of times as a seasoned empowerment person doing leadership workshops for them. And so I'm glad to return back. And then I am really excited, and this is going to be new. I have a former student of Hampton University, very I think 2 years out, but he's in the media business, and he's going to have a group of people August 18th, and I'm going to be talking to them, and I think more about the internships and how it prepared me and whatnot. So each group will be, depending upon who's in the makeup of the audience, that will have a different concentration. So I want to say each person who registers will get a book and a e-workbook, which covers some things I couldn't say in the book because I couldn't say names and I couldn't put pictures. And so I can be able to do more of a deep dive and to be more of a help, which is why I wrote the book, was to help navigate, again, removing the public figure mask so that I can be more transparent to assist in everybody's journey. So now the time has come to bring our guest on. I've done all my commercials. And so I'm excited because I met this young lady last October. I believe she is a women leaders in college sports. And I slowed down because I continue to want to say NACWA. It tells you how long I've been around. I'm actually a 1999 alumnus of the Leadership Institute when it was held at Bryn Mawr. So I go way back. So if I ever say NACWA, just charge it to my heart, not my head. Well, opposite, charge it to my head, not my heart. But I think she's a rising star. And I was like, well, you know, I love rising stars because those are the folks that's going to lead us to the next. And so I was like, we want to know what is in store for us. And so, and honestly, too, you all told me, again, I listen to my listeners, you know, you want to see more young people that were navigating how they did that versus us old heads and hear about how we did it. So I'm so excited about bringing Ms. Sydney Moorman, Assistant Student Athlete Development Coordinator for the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Girl, I'm happy to have you as well. So let's just jump right on in and talk about your career from college to now.
Yes, so I was very blessed. I was never a student athlete. I played soccer in seventh grade. That's it. But fortunately for me, when I went to the University of Cincinnati in the fall of 2014, I was able to really navigate and figure out what my purpose was. And so from 2015 to May 2019, I served as a student worker. I was an intern. I was a GA. They let me do so many things. I worked in football. I worked in compliance. I worked in sports services and student athlete support. So I was really able to get my hands in a lot, learn a lot. And so after boiling down what exactly it was that I wanted to do, why did I love doing all of the things that I was doing, it was student athlete development. And so last year, Brian Russell, my current boss at Illinois, posted the positions on the N4A page on the listserv that came out, and I applied for the assistant coordinator position, and here we are.
Wow. That was pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have so many folks out here looking, and so I'm going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to say this, is that I, too, was never a student-athlete, so we got that in common.
Yes.
So when we return back, we continue chatting with Ms. Sydney Moorman.
This is Alva Chan.
Let's face it, the AD position.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Let's face it, the AD position is an executive position, a member of the president's administrative team, the cabinet. The department deserves the same level of leadership, knowledge, talent, experience, and professionalism as any top official on campus. Presidents are looking for AD leadership who know how to build a success culture. Recognizing this changing landscape in athletics, join me at successcultureconsultantcoach.com for info on my next course on building a success culture.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, let's talk about that because let's just be really step by step. From graduation to the day you started working, how much time lapsed?
From the day I graduated to the time I started working, let me see. So I came to Illinois, I came to Illinois in June 2019, and I didn't graduate from grad school until August 2019. So I was still in grad school when I started here.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a good strategy.
Yeah.
That's a great
strategy.
So that's maybe what we should be saying now. How were you able to navigate doing both?
You know what? It just took a lot of balance, a lot of good time management, and also just being honest with my bosses and my coworkers. They knew that I was in my last semester of grad school. They knew that I was working on a project, and so they knew that some of my time would be divided, my mind would be divided, but I just kept them in the loop on all things regarding my process and how it was going, and of course then when I graduated, I was able to be full go on my job. But I just say, make sure that you're open and you're upfront and you're honest. And I have to, leave a bit early today to go finish X, Y, and Z. And they were very encouraging on days when I was, slacking or procrastinating. They were like, okay, get out, go finish that. So, it's always good to have a good support system.
Now, we have that in common as well. I graduated in 90 from Hampton University. I started St. Paul's College in August of that same year.
Wow.
And, yeah, I was blessed. But, again, I was like you. I was a student worker, like ever since my sophomore year in college in athletics.
Yeah. Yeah, and same.
So everybody else is pushing you. Hey, so-and-so got a job, so you apply for this and you do this. And that's what I'm telling students. That, so there was no, people who were majoring in what we're doing now were usually studying to become athletic trainers. And so that was not me because I see blood on going the other way. But the thing is, you gotta get busy for people to know who you are and be able to speak on your behalf. But I did start grad school the spring after I graduated. So,
wow.
Yeah, and everybody thought I was crazy because, again, sports management was not a major really yet, Interesting enough, there was only two schools in Virginia that had sports management. It was University of Virginia and ODU.
Wow.
And I worked at St. Paul's College. And each of those institutions were like 2 hours away.
Wow.
So University of Virginia is private. Couldn't afford that.
Yeah.
So I took 2 hours up and 2 hours coming back. So I took one course a semester.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me from 91 to 94 to get
yeah.
my master's. So I'm with you because people, my students, like Linda Bell, it was funny. Oh, my gosh. Statistics, if I had taken that class first, I probably would not have got my master's, okay? So my students, I had a math business major, and I said, look, can you tutor me?
Yeah.
Here's the SID asking their students to tutor
yeah.
them in statistics. And,
wow.
and, you know, it's interesting. That young lady is now in her final stage of getting her PhD.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing. And if I may really quick just speak on that student worker experience, I
yes,
am so
please.
Big on experiential learning while you're in school because just like you, I started down this path my sophomore year in school, literally just knocking on doors, people needing help, and them allowing me to insert myself in those situations. That I stand on that platform all day long because there was a point in time when I thought that I wanted to be a compliance person.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned through trial and error, through my internship, that maybe that's not what I wanted to do. I got to my purpose earlier because I took advantage of opportunities that were in front of me. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm always telling students all the time, please get involved early. Please
mm-hmm.
do not wait until you're at the end of your college career or you decide that you want to go to grad school to start getting experience because not only are you putting yourself out there to learn about different areas, like you said, people are getting to know who you are, and you're also learning how to be a better administrator. There are so many lessons that I learned through my time working as a student worker and an undergraduate intern and a graduate assistant at the University of Cincinnati that if I wouldn't have had those experiences, I wouldn't be where I am today. So for any and all students who want to get in this business, please, please, please get started early.
And, you know, if anybody knows me, I will put you to work and you'll be
yes.
able to say, I really did do something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, get a project, and that's so key. And right
mm.
now I'm giving at least, I'm looking for a couple of more. I'm looking for 10, but I'm talking about like 6 or 7, excuse me, young people who are looking for COVID monitors. AAU Nationals are going to take place here in Hampton, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm looking for some folks, and then you'll get, you get a stipend.
Yeah.
You know, it's not enough to really go shopping for a car or anything, but you'll have something to go get a couple of meals, nice meals.
Right,
and,
right.
And that's what I'm looking for. And then for those who are hopping on the payment part, honestly, I'm not looking for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so talk about that a little bit, you know, your opportunities. And looking for payment, and this is what I gotta have. Well, it's not about how much money you have; it's how much money you spend.
Right, right, right. And that's something that I was told early, and I learned early that if you're getting into this business to make money, then you're trying to get into the wrong business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that my mom asked me all the time. She's like, I want you to have a career. Where you'll be well off. And I'm like, well, of course, Mom. Like, I want the same thing, but. I've learned that there are some individuals who might be chasing money, and that's fine, or they might be chasing status, and that's fine. Me personally, I'm chasing purpose, and so
mm-hmm.
I just learned yeah. early on that especially when you're starting out where I am, you're not going to be making the big bucks, but, you know, you hope that one day you will advance to a place where you will be able to live, you know, a bit comfortably. You know, right now I'm just trying to pay off student loans. So,
mm-hmm.
But definitely I think as the generations get younger, and again, I can't really speak because I'm only 24, but as the generations get younger, folks are looking at athletic administrators thinking that they make, like, all of the money, millions and millions of dollars, when that's not the case, especially not in a time like now.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that we can certainly do a good job at telling the younger generations that this is a grind. I know the business looks sexy and glamorous on the outside, but there's a lot of great work that goes into this, and there's a lot of people who take pride in what they do. Something about this industry, we take pride in our work, okay? We might not be getting paid the way that we should be, but we take great pride in it, and we're making great change. So if you can just ride that way for a few years, hopefully on the back end, you'll be able to see some of those dollars that you wanted to.
And, you know, again, that's why I always say you define your significance. I don't look for success. I look for significance, just making an impact, a lasting impact with individuals. And, you know, one of the things that people need to realize, the moment I'm gonna show my age, be like, if I say this name, you may or may not know who I'm talking about. I'm be like, Mace, more money, more problems.
More money, more problems.
Yeah, and so you get paid the bucks to be able to navigate the issues at hand. And so tell people all the time, you know, well, you asked for this.
Yeah.
So you be really careful what you're asking for, because
definitely
the more money, the more responsibility. And in athletics, is usually responsibility for more bodies, more lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And just be clear on that. And so, you know, so that's another thing to consider. But, oh, my goodness. When you said chasing purpose, oh, my God. A 24-year-old saying that, girl, you're going to be fine. You hear me? You're going to be fine. So let me get to these two questions I got over here. Dr. Janice Lavallee, Hampton University, student-athlete development. Student athlete academic advisement, but she does have life skills in that piece.
Yep.
With the uncertainty of where we are headed, what does the future of student athlete development look like?
I think that the future looks bright. I know the people that I work alongside and the generations of student athlete development administrators, you know, in front of me and those who stand next to me, we're doing some good work. We are in think tanks. We are strategizing. We are rallying the troops to really make a transformational change and have a transformational impact. And so while, you know, being honest, we talked about dollars, the dollars might not always be there in our particular area, but I think that folks are starting to see the importance of what we do. You know, we see the uprising of student athletes using their voice for change, using their voices to shine light on different issues. That's, and not to take the credit from those students, because those are their voices that they need to earn. But your student athlete development administrators, like, those are the folks who are, you know, typically leading the charge with creating those spaces for students to, you know, have meetings and get those ideas together. And so I can be honest and say that I'm really excited about the future of student-athlete development. I'm excited to be a part of it. We're really working on – we're looking at what the holistic development of a student-athlete is and how we can foster that and continue to build that out. And I think something that's key, too, is that we're partnering with our student-athletes to do that. So the future is bright. The future is exciting. I invite you all to join us as we work to support these students through their current times and for their times in their lives to come.
Well, I don't mean to put you on the spot. However, did you hear what I said about the Behind the Whistle, the SCHEMA Virtual Symposium, July the 17th to 18th?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a place where a think tank, you talk about people getting together, and you hear the heavy hitters we got coming on. So,
yeah. And you have Brittany Collins, who's doing some great work at my alma mater. So
Okay. So shout out to Brittany Collins, a guard member. Again, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but is that something that you would attend, or you plan on attending, or you would encourage people to attend?
I would encourage people to attend, and as long as my schedule allows, I think that would be something that I would look into attending as well.
Wonderful. So this is kind of thing I'm talking about. because I guess I'm saying from the standpoint what I said, there is an investment. It's not large,
mm-hmm.
But you got to invest in yourself.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So speaking about social work, we have another question. Her name is Sydney Hart.
Yes,
she's
Sydney.
Oh, you know Sydney?
I don't, but her name is Sydney too, so she must be great.
I feel you. Because I was like, man, I don't know if she's a member of the group because I'm looking, but I think it's because of the social work part. She's
mm-hmm.
a Master of Social Work candidate. She says, any advice for student support personnel helping at-risk youth career college plan?
Yeah, that's actually a really great question. And I think for me, the biggest keys where you start is, and this is going to take a little bit of time.
Okay, please.
But getting to know your student,
mm-hmm.
Knowing where they come from, understanding where they come from, understanding where what their motivators are,
mm-hmm.
understanding what makes them tick, and understand what their goals are. Where are they trying to go, right? So it makes me think about a student that I've worked with in the past who I don't want to say had attitude issues, but was just, you know, very hyper, very out there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was difficult to get this individual to really sit down and lock in on the work that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was fortunate enough to get to know that student
mm-hmm.
outside of their student-athlete status. And so I was able to get an understanding of where they came from,
mm-hmm.
Why they approached things the way that they did.
Mm-hmm.
I got an understanding of what their motivating factors are. I got an understanding of, like, where some of those limitations were and those blind spots and an understanding of where they wanted to go. So
mm-hmm.
I was able to work with all of those pieces to help that student both see a better version of themselves that they had not seen, which in turn helped them to be successful studies and their planning. And so I think working with the youth, understanding where they want to go is a vital piece. So, and even looking at colleges, there are some students who would benefit from being closer to home. There are some
mm-hmm.
students who would benefit from branching out and not being at home. So
mm-hmm.
it's just really getting to understand the student and what their needs are and what their goals are.
Now, I teach race and gender
mm-hmm.
In sport. And so my first activity, I asked the students, and we said, all sit in a circle because it's at nighttime, it's at 5 o'clock, and my class is pretty small. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-hour class from 5 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
So it's enough to sit in a round circle.
Right.
And the question is, when is the first time that you knew you were different?
Mm.
And that is very eye-opening. Usually it's something that happened in their youth, and it's interesting because later on in the class, another student would tell me, well, you know, he acts like that because he's been picked on so early in his life because he's always been big.
Mm.
He feels he hasn't been understood. And, I mean, because the interesting thing is that the other people are listening to each other.
Right.
And they're, sometimes they're able to be their own sponsor, if you will, to
Definitely.
Be able to understand. And since I'm trying to train people to figure out which career in athletic administration would be best for them, it helps me be able to say, oh, yes, you already have this propensity to be in tune to what you hear
mm-hmm.
from your colleagues that are athletes and you are not, and you
yeah.
become their advocate.
Yeah. Yeah. That's real.
Yeah,
that's real.
Is. And it's very fulfilling. I just cannot tell you enough. Again, I'm an adjunct. I'm not getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that, to know that you can see that development, the eyes go off, and then the warming, because you see a person is in their eyes and it's cold.
Yeah.
But you can tell when you're getting there because a person smiles first in their eyes.
Yes.
Not in their mouth.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is very true.
Yeah.
And I love that you share about you being an adjunct professor because one of my, you know, goals that are in my back pocket. One day I would like to have just one class. That could be whether, or I'd take two. If I can do both the intro to sport admin course and have like a current topics in sport course, I would enjoy that. But just really having, you know, in that current topics in sport course, having those moments where we are sitting in a circle and we're conversing about the things that are going on. Because, you know, working in college athletics, like you have to be able to take in different points of view and see the same coin from different angles in order to solve problems, right? So I think fostering those moments in class settings for our future leaders is so vital.
Well, you mind if I coach you for a second?
Yes, please.
You don't need to be an adjunct to do that. If you're on a college campus, you know, I mean, just at this point, just call a Zoom call.
Yes.
And how you feeling? A temperature check, you know?
Yeah.
You know, something to that. And then provide that information for change in another kind of way.
Right.
Because it's a two-way street. Either you use the documentation to change the way policies, things are done, and then the other way around is that they feel that they're being heard. And I'm not saying go all the way out, but you always can create a club.
Right, right.
And so, yeah. So
definitely.
So I have to wait for that, because adjunct is hard. Many people get them, they don't let them go. So I don't want to be letting all this great talent that you got waiting for somebody to ask. You know?
Right, correct. You're absolutely right about that.
So I hope I have the right the right institution. But I had Ashton Washington come and speak on the Facebook group like the same week that she was announced on your at your university.
Yeah, yeah. Huge, huge move on our part. And I'm so glad and fortunate to have her on our football staff.
So I don't know if she's made it on campus yet.
I'm not sure if she's made it on campus yet. I know that I know at least us in the academics and student athlete development space, we're not on campus. I'm actually in Ohio, so I haven't had, you know, the pleasure to meet her in person, but I certainly hope to one day. And, you know, I've welcomed her, you know, online
to
the Illini family. But yeah, I'm so glad to have her.
Oh yeah, and here's the thing: both of you all are the same age.
Yeah,
I told her if you can go back and watch the Facebook Live inside the group. But I was like, okay, I already knew who my Big Ten team is gonna be.
Yes, yeah. We love it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I really am excited because I just posted something else about her today. Because I don't know if I said this before. I was a mass media major.
Mhm.
And so promoting and communication comes to me naturally. And so she's been able to put herself out there because of her natural tendency in knowing how to do that.
Yes.
But she doesn't have any fear either. I mean, like she said, she was talking about she worked for like a recruiting group. And she said she walked out on the football field as if she's supposed to be there.
Yes.
And that's the key.
Yeah. Because she is. Who says you're not?
Yeah. So tell me about some times where you, I can't say fake it till you make it, but you just act like you're supposed to be there. And how did you navigate that?
Well, I will start by saying my Twitter name, Sid the Kid, is not just because my name rhymes with kid. It's because in all of the spaces that I've ever been in, I've always been the youngest person there.
Uh-huh.
And it's not until, in many cases, that I tell my age that folks realize that. Mm-hmm. And so I referenced my time at Cincinnati. There were a lot of rooms that, based on age and experience, stereotypically that I shouldn't have been in that room, but I was. And so it was really just sitting and listening, observing others, and then, you know, just realizing that whether you walked into the room or you were invited into the room, you're in the room and you're at the table. So that means that you have a voice And it is challenging, I will say, but it took me a few years to finally swallow that, oh, I'm the youngest person here, I'm the least experienced person here, thought process to say, no, I have something valuable to contribute if it's the time for me to contribute. And I would just go forth and speak up, and it's helped me a lot in my career. So I would say to anybody who's in that same, who can identify with me, being in that space, you know, be fearless in that. Understand that you're where you are for a reason. Like I said, whether you were invited into the room or not, you're in the room. So I encourage you to, of course, listen first. I'm not saying just start talking just because you can. Of course, make sure that you're actually contributing something productive. But all experience is experience. So if you have something to contribute that can move the conversation or the cause along for it, please don't hesitate to do so, because you never know. You could have a key piece of information or a key nugget that could benefit the conversation. And if you hold on to that, then that wasn't something that we would have had. So just do it.
I love it. If you walk in the room, or either you're invited to the room, what did you say after that?
You're in the room, so take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed this talk today.
I have, too. I really have. When we talked about this at Women Leaders in October, I was like, oh, yeah, of course. And then I was like, Sydney, what are you going to go on somebody's show and talk about? Because I've listened to the show many a times before. But like we just talked about, you never know. And it was just such a great experience to come on and chat with you. Hopefully we can do it again in the future. So thank you so much again for having me.
Yes, I believe when I talk to you again, you'll be an AD. So thank you.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, existence, or speaking that out into existence.
Yes. I want to thank my wonderful engineer, Jamla Harrison. And join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.